Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's just one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And it really ties into this month. We've been talking about hope, and this spells out our hope in Christ probably better than any other passage in the Word of God. So let me just read it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That's what happens when we come to know Christ.
Yes.
We become children of God. That's what God calls us, and that's a sign of His love for us, that we have a brand new identity in Christ. And that is what we are. Now, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So we're children of God. We would love for the world to accept us for who we are, yet the world doesn't do that. Why? Because the world doesn't know God. The world doesn't see God through Jesus Christ as we do. So the world doesn't know us. They don't recognize us for who we really are. He says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That's hope.
Yes.
We don't know what that's going to look like. All we know is this: when Jesus Christ appears, we will be like Him. How do you like that for some positive words, some encouragement in your life? Maybe you're struggling. Let these words anchor you in Christ. And then he goes on to say this: everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This hope has a transforming power in our lives. When we get a hold of the fact that we truly are children of God, and even though we don't yet know what exactly that looks like, but when Christ comes, we will see Him and we will be like Him. If we will get a hold of that, then that's going to transform us. That's going to purify our thinking, our actions, everything about us. It's going to make us stand out in this world as a child of God. They may not recognize it, but they know something's different.
Yeah.
Now, we oftentimes will go to passages like this, and we will reverse. If we will purify ourselves, then we can have hope. That's not what John is writing here. If you have this hope in you, this hope is going to transform you. This hope is going to be the purifying agent in your life. So if you're struggling out there with all of the temptations of this world, with all of the sinful things that are going on out there, look at your hope. Do you have any? Do you recognize who you really are in Christ? Go back to that. Let God reestablish this hope inside of you, and then you will start seeing this hope making a difference in the choices that you make.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have plenty of open lines, and we're ready for your calls right now. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, whether you live in the States or in Canada, it's toll-free, as I said, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Waco, Texas, and talk with Angel, listening to us on KBBW. Welcome.
Hello. Hello?
Welcome. You're on the air.
Oh. Okay, I had a comment and a question. The gospel, running into so many people, talking to people about the Lord, the scripture says you're supposed to have an answer for the hope that lies within you to every man that asks. And if you do, as you were talking about this hope that everybody seems to, this way, this truth that everybody seems to be searching for, when you come across a Christian or somebody that professes themselves to be a Christian, you ask them, what is this hope that, you know, that you're, that's supposed to be a lion, that's supposed to be lying in you, which would be the gospel, the salvation, which Christians are supposed to know and supposed to profess that they do know and supposed to have an answer. Because if you do not have the answer, then you clearly do not have salvation, because you cannot give something that you do not have. And I come across a lot of self-proclaimed Christians, because I can't call them a Christian. Their pastor or mom and dad can't call them a Christian. The only one that can call them a Christian is the Word of God. As Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruit. Again, out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth will speak the truth, or they'll speak what religion, or but they won't speak truth. So I ask many people, I say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And they often tell me, they say, oh, you know what? Give me your hand. We're gonna pray. And I say, what are we gonna do? It sounds exciting. And they say, you're gonna ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and call upon the name of the Lord, and you're gonna be saved. And I was like, wow. The Romans wrote into salvation. They said, yes. I said, the sinner's prayer. And they said, yes. I said, do you believe the word of God to be the word of God? And they said, yes. I said, on one hand, I have what man says, and on the other hand, I have what the Bible says, which would be right. And they often say the word of God. And I said, thank you. I said, because on one hand, I have
this Romans road. Angel, can you get to your point? Can you get to your question?
Yes, sir. On one hand, I have this Romans road into salvation, which are depicted out of the scriptures, out of the book of Romans, trying to start a church. But what Jesus started, didn't start the church with Paul, but started with Peter. And as it's written, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I have this Romans road where I can just invite Jesus into my heart, or I have the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Jesus talks about believing, then repenting and being baptized. And go, and Jesus even said, go and preach the gospel. Here it goes. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believe, not just a form of thinking, but a faith with works, because faith without works is dead. Can faith alone save a man? God, no, it cannot.
Well, so, Angel, I'm going to ask you again, what is your question, so that we can dialogue back and forth?
Oh, yes, sir. The Romans road is a false gospel, because it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, clearly, because where the gospel was preached, it was in the day of Pentecost. Would you agree? Because I know baptism water does not save you, clearly, but the obedience to baptism, as people say, we're saved by grace, but as...
Well, Angel, if you're saying that we need to be baptized in water in order to be saved, I will disagree with that. And I don't think the scripture teaches that. I think scripture teaches faith in Christ alone. It's by grace through faith in Jesus. That is salvation. Jesus saves us. He died to take away our sins. He was buried to put an end to that old way of life. He was raised again from the dead so that we could have life everlasting. So when we come to Christ by faith, we get him. He is our salvation. There's no other way of salvation than Christ Jesus himself. And so there's passages in Romans that can lead a person to faith in Jesus, but that's what it's all about. That's they're being revealed through those, the grace of God that's been given to them in Christ, that's been extended to them in Christ. And that grace can move them to a response of faith. And when those are coupled together, salvation occurs. And what happens at that point is that God himself moves in a person's heart to make him alive together with Christ, so that he crosses over from death to life. So the gospel is simply the good news about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And that good news has benefits for us. So when we believe, when we receive, we're born again, we're made alive together with Christ, we become new creatures in Christ, new creations. God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us, and now we live through faith in Jesus, walking in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. And the Spirit of God, as he leads us, we're going to see the works being carried out that he has for us. That's the gospel.
That's the gospel. Angel, thank you for your call. We have plenty of open lines right now, plenty of time on the clock at 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a question you can pose, 844-322-2742 is the number to dial right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well.
That's good. I want to share Psalm 30 for those who are depressed. And the title of the psalm is the blessedness of answered prayer. And verse 1 says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for thou have lifted me up, and have not left, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up to thou the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not be done to the pit, go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saint of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his flavor is for life. Weeping and endurance for right, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor and have made my mountain stand strong.
Well, Wayne, let me jump in right there.
Sure. Okay.
You are reading a powerful passage about hope. There are so many people out there who are in despair, who have been overwhelmed by circumstances, by the situations that they're currently in, and it's a dark tunnel. There's no light even at the end of that tunnel. There's no way marking a path forward. And this particular psalm is saying, look up, look to God himself. He is your salvation. He is your help. His mercy endures. His favor will last forever. And with that, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's where hope comes from. He is our hope. And I think that is just a powerful, powerful passage. And I encourage our listeners out there, if some of you are struggling right now, some of you are going through very difficult circumstances where you feel overwhelmed, let the gospel bring you hope. Let the gospel move your eyes away from your circumstance toward Jesus Christ. Because with him, the one who is alive, who lives forever, he can speak power and wisdom and love and grace and mercy into every one of those situations. Turn to him, and I guarantee you, your circumstance will be flooded with hope. Well, Wayne, we appreciate you bringing this this important psalm to our attention. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Bubba. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Again, 844-322-2742, open lines right now. And, you know, getting the word out, when you're basic gospel, it's what you do. We love sharing that Jesus is alive and that he wants to share his life and his love with you. And if what you hear on Basic Gospel every day is a benefit to you, we ask that you share in the blessing by joining us and supporting the message of Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. That's the primary reason to give through Basic Gospel. But for your gift of any amount this month, we're going to send you a copy of the new Simple Gospel Simply Grace Companion Study Guide. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Friends, make your gift today if you can to keep the good news coming and receive your copy of the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide.
Yes, indeed. I just opened up to chapter 4, and we start chapter 4 with this question: what happens to a person when he responds to the gospel through faith? That's an important question to ask. Yeah. That's an important question to get answered. And what does this study guide do? It drives you into the Word of God so that you can see clearly exactly what God in Christ has accomplished in your life. You don't just merely receive a golden ticket to grant you entry into heaven when you die. Something happens deep within inside you. That spirit that was dead to God, that was separated from God, has now been made alive, and you've been reconnected and formed. There's a union that has been formed there between your spirit and the Holy Spirit, and it's so tightly knit that union starts to transform us from the inside out. That's what happens when we respond to the gospel through faith. But you get this study guide, you're gonna see these scriptures bear this out. You're going to take a deep dive into what the Word of God actually says, and you're going to come away with a deep conviction about who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. That's the most important aspect of that relationship, who Christ is in you.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Bob. And again, friends, all you have to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742, and receive your copy of the Simple Grace, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Caesar. Hi, Caesar.
Hey, God bless you, my brothers. How are you?
Well, doing fantastic. Welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you for having me. I actually just wanted to reply to the brother that called first. I hope you're listening, brother. I used to believe that way as well, and I actually felt down because a brother that I really respect came to me and told me that I was not saved because I had not gotten water baptized. But then the Lord spoke to me and really uplifted me. See, brother, the thing is, we're not saved by good works. The Bible says that no man is saved by works, so none should boast. You know, and the Father says that at the end of the day, our righteousness is as filthy rags, you know, but this is, we are saved for good works, not by good works, but for good works. And an example I want to give you, my brother, is the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross did absolutely no works. The thief on the cross did not get baptized, but he simply believed in Jesus Christ. He simply placed his faith in Christ. And the Lord, what was his answer to him? He said, on this day, you will be in paradise with me. Now, my friend, we're not saved by good works. There is no way that we can please the Father by our works. But we're counted as righteous by our faith in Jesus Christ. And the more we get to know Christ, the more we get to love Christ, the more we become as Christ. And every day we're getting our minds renewed, my brother. So just keep on pushing and searching the scriptures, and you'll see that the Lord will give you an answer. Your heart may be at the right place, and your mind as well, but just go in prayer and ask the Lord, because I used to have that mentality as well, but we're just saved by grace, my brother. There's nothing that we can do to get us to heaven.
Well, Cesar, the human tendency is to try to add. We think of ourselves as pretty important, and that God would be very pleased, you know, to welcome us, because look at us, we're just really something special. And we have to come to grips with the fact that apart from the grace of God, there is no salvation. That God chose to love us in Christ Jesus. That was his choice. Amen. It has no connection to our merit, our deserving, any of that. It's his favor being bestowed upon us in Christ. That is the way of salvation. And as that grace takes grip of our hearts, we see a transformation that starts to take place from the inside out. And if we'll just keep holding on to the finished work of Jesus, we're going to see Jesus doing a lot of stuff in and through us. So thanks for your good comments. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, this issue is so important, because it doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ under grace, walking by faith. Every one of us at the wrong time with the right inputs goes right back into that "how am I doing" question. All of us have to be constantly reminded every day, every moment, that it's God working from the inside out rather than us working from the outside
in. Yes, and we're simply working out what God is working in. And the fact that Christ is in us, that's our hope. That's our hope of glory. Mm-hmm. That's future, but it's our hope for here and now.
Yes.
And that's why it's important for us to always keep our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, let's go out to Childress, Texas, and talk with Eric. Hi, Eric.
Eric.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
did. Hey, my question is, I believe I have the answer, but I want just confirmation from you guys. My understanding is that once we're in Christ, we're already seated with him in the heavenlies. I mean, that's something that I can't really comprehend, but is that truth?
Well, that's exactly what Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, this is all part of the salvation that we receive. We get placed into Christ. So where he is, well, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But he sent his Spirit to live inside of us, so he's here. He's where we are. Now, that'll boggle the mind, won't
yes.
it? So right now, I'm sitting in a studio on the third floor in the Hebron office building in Louisville, Texas. And because I'm seated here and because Christ is alive living in me, he's right here in this studio on the third floor in the Hebron office building in Louisville, Texas. But he's also in the heavenly, seated at the right hand of God. Because I'm in Christ, I'm there with him as well. And that is incredible hope, knowing that my future is already a reality. I'm
yes.
already there. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's something that's just extremely hard for me to get my mind around. But I was thinking last week, a lady called midweek, and she was talking about where her daughter had passed away, and she was, you know, wondering exactly where her daughter was, and I think somebody had told her that her daughter was in some sort of a soul sleep or whatever, and the Spirit just rose up in me, and it's like, we're already there. She's already there in the heavenlies. And I was thinking about this woman that was in this pain, you know, and sorrow for the loss of her daughter. But, you know, if we can comprehend that, you know, she did lose her daughter and she's not here on earth, but she is already, if she's in Christ, she's already seated there.
That's exactly right.
And the mother's there as well. And I mean, you're talking about hope, and I mean, that's just the, man, that's hope.
Doesn't get any better than that, does
yeah.
it? And
no,
you know, it's just the statement of a fact that's already reality. We may not see it, we may not know it, you know, in our minds from an experiential standpoint, but it's true. It's absolutely true. We have been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. He's living in us. And that's the hope that purifies us. That's the hope that changes us from the inside out. And to our listeners, I want to introduce Eric today as one of the newest members of the board of directors for Basic Gospel.
Welcome, Eric.
And so Eric has agreed to join with us and to serve and to help lead this ministry forward. And Eric, we're mighty proud to associate with you and that you are standing with us to get the word out in so many ways through Basic Gospel. So thank you, my friend.
Eric, how you like that phrase, mighty proud? That's a Texas phrase for you right there.
That's it. I use it all the time. But I tell you what, I'm tickled to death. I never thought that in my wildest dreams that I would be asked to be a part of the ministry like that. But I tell you, it's amazing, and I just, you know, struggled for so long with so many things, and this ministry has helped me see the light, and, you know, not only that, but through this ministry, I've grown, and I've been able to help, you know, shed light on some of these areas that I struggled with people, members of our church and the Bible study that we have, and, you know, it's just a trickle-down effect. I mean, you know, you think, you know, just one person, maybe just affected one person, but that one person affects two or three other people, and that person affects two or three other people. So, you know, in saying that, the gifts that people give, whether it's $5 or $100 or $1,000, I mean, you'd be surprised. It goes a long way.
Absolutely does,
Eric. Word out.
So, thank you for those good words. We really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you soon. And again, welcome to the board. We're out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. So for Bob and Richard, the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We're going to see you tomorrow. Hope you'll be here. Bye-bye.